of the hatred and the evil and heinous, wrongful, unlawful acts, you know, that are perpetrated on harmless people, you know, law-abiding people, you know. Nobody should be killed violently, you know, for selling cigarettes illegally on the street, but yet somebody was killed. Nobody should be killed while jogging, you know, on the street and chased down and killed heinously. I mean, it was the young man was chased down and murdered violently. There's too many heinous acts committed on people that the church is just looking over and they're not saying anything about. Well, blessed quietness is not blessed. It's not blessed. We're supposed to speak the word against these things. You need to come against it, you know. What the church need to know now is that these things stems directly from hatred sent into these people that's doing these acts. They have allowed Satan to come into their life, and that's where it's coming from. See, if you know where it's coming from, it won't even be hard for you to preach it over the pulpit. You know that Satan is behind these acts. But now, if you're going to uphold Satan, you go right ahead, because God is going to uphold you. If you want to uphold these heinous acts by not speaking out and not saying anything, and you know Satan is causing this stuff. Satan gets into people and calls them to kill and murder and steal and do all of these heinous things. And if you want to hold up for Satan, you go right ahead. But God is going to, you got something coming to you from God. And I'm talking to the preachers right now. And we have been
you are an awesome ruler. This is what we like to call you, Jesus, Jesus. That's what we call you, yeah. You were born in a manger, but on a tree
you died to save man. The
This is KAYT. Gina Alexandria, 88.1. The gospel is on your radio. Call a friend. Tell somebody. 88.1.
Gracious is the Lord and righteous. Yea, our God is merciful. The Lord preserveth the simple. I was brought low and he helped me. Return unto thy rest, O my soul, for the Lord hath dealt bountifully with thee. For thou hast delivered my soul from death, mine eyes from tears, and my feet from falling. I will walk before the Lord in the land of the living. I want to speak from the subject this morning. Trusting God is giving God thanksgiving. Trusting God is giving God thanksgiving. One of the things that I have found in my feeble studies of the book of Psalms is the fact that the writers, and they are multiple, have somehow dealt extensively with the issue of trusting God.
Right.
Trusting God not in a temporary sense, but trusting God in a total sense. There are instances and situations in Scripture, in Psalms, where they give God praise and they give God thanksgiving as a reflection upon their own hearts' experiences with God, where God, out of one thing or another, led them from bondage to captivity, led them out of defeat to victory, led them out of valleys to mountaintops. But their praise and their thanksgiving was based out of a temporary trust. A whole lot of us will trust God when it's comfortable to trust Him, when it's convenient for us to trust Him. But I've discovered it's really at those times that you don't really need to trust Him, because you have already seen what the end's going to be. The time to truly trust God, as God would desire that you trust Him always, but if you're going to truly put trust to work, trust must be put to work when all hope seems to be gone. Trust works like light in darkness. Trust works better when everything else fails. Light works better in darkness. And so if you're going to let your light shine, yes, it's good to let it shine in the daytime, but the best time to let it shine is at nighttime. When you don't have supporting light or illuminating light around your light. See, it's all right even if we turn off all the lights in the building today. We still have enough light for you to see me, me to see you, and us to function like talking about, because we have what's called supportive light, meaning the S-U-N sun is shining. And it's all right in the daytime to let these lights shine, but then the hours will keep on ticking, and the S-U-N sun will move from our observance, and there will come a lesser light called the moon, and these lights will show up better and brighter when the lesser supporting light comes into view, meaning when it gets dark. And how many of you will know that you walk around your house most days and don't have to turn on the lights until it gets dark? Some of us, I've had the experience of going, God's blessed us, and we have housing and lighting, windows and all, where we don't even have to burn these kind of lights during the day. But God wants us to know that so many of us like the day. When things are well, we don't trust Him. And strangely enough, when things get bad, we very seldom trust Him. I found out that trust should be a continual, participatory celebration of what you believe in God. So I found out if you trust Him when it's good, and if you just keep on trusting Him when it gets bad, your trust will be right intact. I want you to see something here, because David is talking about some other things that I want to bring into play. He says, first of all, gracious is the Lord. Now, all of the things that he's going to say about the Lord, he is speaking experientially. And I think it is so wonderful, my brothers and sisters, when you can talk about the goodness of the Lord, but based upon your own experience. Because I don't care how many other folk get up and talk about how good He is and what He's done, it's not going to impact you until you have had an experience where you know for yourself God's been good to me. So look at what David says. He says, gracious is the Lord. Now, he starts off by talking about graciousness because he has seen God give him liberty and give to him freedom in some areas in life where he, if God had not been gracious, he would not be experiencing not only life, but the level of life that God has allowed him to live on. See, how many of you know that God can let you live, but he don't have to let you live on a high plane? See, his grace will let you live.
All right.
He'll give you another day, but he don't have to make it all well in the day that he gives you.
Yeah.
So when he talks about gracious, it goes beyond the word grace, and it talks about a continual action of showing another level and a greater degree of graciousness. Gracious is the Lord. Now look at what he says. And righteous. Yea, our God is merciful. Now, he starts off verse 1 by saying he's gracious. He ends up by saying he's merciful, but in the middle, he don't want you to forget he's righteous. Now, that's one of the reasons why, listen, that you've got to see the only reason why we get his grace and his mercy is because he's righteous. And he does not deal with us according to our own shortcomings. How many of y'all will be witnesses to that? How many of you will be honest and say, Brother Pastor, the Lord has not given me what I deserved? Lord, when y'all wake up here. Because had the Lord given you what you deserve death, hell, and total damnation. But he looked beyond your faults and is still me. So he hadn't given you what you. Next time you hear somebody say, I ain't got what I deserve, you say, praise the Lord. Hallelujah, because if we had received what we deserved, we would not be in this place today. But his righteousness, Jesus Christ, is the righteousness of God. His righteousness came and provided a way for us to enter back into fellowship with God and to be in the presence of God and to experience the knowledge and the peace of God because he is righteous. Now, I want you to see something else. The Bible says the Lord preserveth the simple. He said, I was brought low and he helped me. Now, again, I don't care whatever simple means in any terms and definitions, he means simple. Now, there are just some things that you've got to understand mean just what they say. Look at what he said. He said, the Lord preserveth the simple. Now, if you don't believe it, just think about how many times you didn't know how you were going to make it. You didn't know how to make it. Is that not a simple case of not knowing what to do, how to do it, where to do it, and when to do it, and yet the Lord preserved you? Well, even when you think that you got where you are on your own, there are still some places you're trying to get to that you can't get to unless the Lord helps you get there. So you're going to understand simple in the sense of having a low estate, having or being weak or limited in ability to get the total life's needs met for oneself. The Bible says the Lord preserveth the simple. He said, I was brought low. Not many of us choose to fall. Not many of us choose to take the wrong way. Not many of us choose all the time to be in the predicaments that we are in. But sometimes God allows those things to happen for our better good. Notice the word says, I was brought low and he helped me. Now, the fact that he was brought low meant that he himself did not totally and of himself make the conditions and or the situations. Sometimes circumstances come that way. If you don't believe it, just read the book of Job. Job was brought low. He didn't do anything wrong. Sometimes you will be brought low, not because you've been bad, not because you've done wrong, not because you've sinned, or not because you've missed it, but sometimes he wants to bring you low so he can lift you higher. And so he says, I was brought low. But can I tell you, when you are brought low, it has a way of bringing you closer to God. You think about the average one of us, when things are really going good in our lives and everything is well, how much do we really give to God in the way of praise? I mean, how much do we really take our time and make time to really give God the sincere praise of our heart? But let trouble come and let it unpack its bag at your door. And let it not go when you want it to go. And when the meager meals get more meager and it's steady eating up everything you got, just let trouble stay there long enough. And it will drive you to your knees to talk to God a little longer than you would have talked to him if trouble were not around. Listen at this here. The Bible says, Return unto thy rest, O my soul, for the Lord hath dealt bountifully with thee. Now he's saying to his soul, because you need to understand, brothers and sisters, that where you are not, when your relationship with God is not in a place where you are in constant fellowship with God, there is no peace and rest in your soul. If you depart from God, either by the turning away of your own desires or walking in sin, there is a separation. And when there is a separation, there is a restlessness down in your bosom. And you can't do anything to fill that void but get back in a right fellowship with God. And he's saying, now that when I was down and the Lord raised me up and brought me back in the right fellowship with him, he says to his soul, now return unto thy rest. Why? Because it is well. And if it is well, then you don't have anything to worry about. So he tells his soul to rest because, listen at this, the Lord has dealt bountifully with him. And when I think about that, my soul rejoices. Because if you can't say for yourself that God has dealt bountifully, what is bountifully, Pastor? Bountifully means to give you more than you ought to have. Bountifully means exceeding, abundantly, more, extra. And in this region, Lanyap. It means to give you a whole lot more than you deserve. It's an extra helping of something. Listen, he says, God has dealt bountifully with thee. When you look back and see all of the times that the Lord should have cut you off, and he didn't cut you off, you need to say to your soul, he's dealt with me bountifully. How many times have you been driving down the road and could have been killed, and all you had was a little scratch on you? He has bountifully. How many times when you've been down and didn't know if you'd ever get up again, and you thought it would be the end, and he gave you another chance? He has dealt bountifully with you. How many times have you been sick and it could have been the end, but he calls healing to come back into your body, raise you up again? He has dealt bountifully with you. When you look back and see how God has dealt with you, I ain't talking about your loved ones, I'm talking about you. See, what bothers me so much sometimes, saints get into church and they act like he ain't done nothing for me. I ain't really been all that bad. I've always been somewhat good. But can I tell you, somewhat good is not enough to get into the kingdom of God. You have got to be perfect. And because you were born in sin and shaping in iniquity, and you've been missing it ever since you've been here, the Lord has dealt bountifully with you. You got some sins you don't even know about yet that he's going to show you, and yet he keeps looking beyond them and blessing you. He's dealt bountifully with you. Oh, when you think about Thanksgiving Day and the eating experience, it is a day of bountiful eating. You got more food. You couldn't take just a little bit of everything on your plate in one sitting. That's why you got to come back again and take a little nap and come back up. Oh, come on, talk to me, somebody. It's not like any other day's eating experience. It's bountiful because it is a day where you're saying, God, you've been good. And just as the bounty on the table is spread out there, when you think of his goodness, every day he's got new benefits and new blessings, and he spreads them out on the table for you and says, help yourself. I went to a buffet the other day, and the only reason why I went there was because the sign says we got 80 items on the buffet. Y'all ought to hear me here. I like bounty on the buffet, and that's what God has done for us bountifully. Bless us. Look at what he says. Verse 8. For thou hast delivered my soul from death. Now look at this, because I need you to see David is not talking about somebody externally, no enemy outside at this point. He's talking about eternalities in the internal parts of his makeup. He ain't talking about the flesh. You know, he saved me out of hell or the hellish experience. He's talking about his soul inwardly now. He's talking about the reference to God saving him now. Look at this. He says, look at what the word says. For thou hast delivered my soul from death. He's talking about God forgiving him of his sins and bringing him in a right relationship with him and giving him the ability to have fellowship with him. He's talking about God has saved his soul. Now, my brothers and sisters, can I tell you when you know you're saved? I ain't talking about thinking you're saved. I'm talking about knowing you have a holy attitude. Folk that know they're saved, it's just something about them. They don't act like those believers who don't believe that they're saved. It's something about them. I mean, they walk in the knowledge that I am saved and I am sanctified and I am set free and I am delivered. I am filled with his Holy Ghost. I am sealed. I am a conqueror. Moreover, it's an attitude, because you know you have what he says you have. I don't care if it ain't manifested now. I got it. I am who he says I am. You might not see it now, but it's on the way. It might look like I'm on the bottom, but brother, I want to tell you, he's about to turn that thing upside down and make me on top. Look like you keep finishing last. That's all right. He said, the last shall be first, so you're going to know you're the head. When you are delivered, the devil gets upset because he can't play on you and hang on you and rail on you like he does, telling you you ain't what God says you are. You can look at the devil straight in the face and say, you're a liar. I'm saved because he said, I didn't do anything to deserve being saved in the first place. So my salvation is because of his graciousness, his righteousness, and his mercifulness. But look at this, look at this, look at this now. You got to get your soul saved and know that it is well with you before your tears are dry up. Oh, y'all ought to hear me here. And that's why some of y'all still whining and crying always. Every time you look out, cry. Listen, it's all right to cry momentarily, but why can't those tears be some tears of joy sometimes? Why, when you start crying and somebody pats you on the back, you go, ah, rather than when they say it's all right, you say, yeah, it's all right. That's why I'm crying, because these are tears of joy. If you knew what he has done for me, you'd be crying also, some tears of joy. Listen at this though. Listen, 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 listen. David gives us some insight. He has delivered my soul from death. And delivered is the continuum here in the trend of thought in this verse. So not only has he delivered me from death, but he's delivered me from my tears. Some of you ought to just be sick and tired of crying. Y'all ought to hear me here. I said, some of you ought to be sick and tired. Listen, David sees the tears of depression and oppression as a weight and a burden of something that needs to be released from. So when he talks about these tears, he's talking about them in a negative sense. They ought to reach a point in your time when you say, devil, I ain't crying no more. I done dropped my last tear. I done wiped my eye for the last time about this matter. I'm putting it in the hands of the Lord, and you ain't gonna make me cry no more. And can I tell you, can I tell you, the devil seen and invisible gets worried when they can't make you cry no more.
Oh, y'all ought to hear me. Because you need to know the devil knows how, and he loves how to say things that make you cry, do things that make you cry. But when you've been delivered from tears, they can do them, and they're like waiting, and you're like, well, maybe I'll do this. And you just look at them, and no tears fall, and they want to know what happened. Just tell them, I've been delivered from the tears. Y'all ought to hear me here. Listen, because he ain't through yet here. He's been delivered from something else here. He says, and my feet from falling. Oh, can I tell you, when your soul is right with God, tears will dry up in your eyes. And if your tears dry up, then it means you can see where you're going. And if you can see where you're going, you won't fall in the traps the devil been making you fall in. Y'all ought to hear me here. See, that's why some of us are always going off the road, going in the wrong direction, because we always wiping our eyes and can't see where we're going, and the tears are coming out. But when he dries up the tears, you can say like the songwriter of the world said, I can see clearly now. Y'all ought to hear. Y'all know what I'm talking about. You can cry so much till it look like it's raining on the outside, but if you just wipe your own tears, the sun will start shining and you can see where you're going. Look at this here. Look at this, and I'm closing. Look at what the word says. And my feet from falling, I-N-G. You know why you keep making the same mistake over and over? Falling. And notice, it's a state, listen, brothers and sisters, of continual decline. When you're in sin or when you're out of the will of God, you always continue to fall. And notice, he didn't put it in a past tense state, but he puts it in a continual state, because God will continually keep you from falling and going down, 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 and down when you have gotten it straight with him. So then he talks, look at this, in verse 9, I will walk. Can I tell you, brothers and sisters, you can't walk if you're falling. And some of us don't know what a joy it is to walk until you have fallen and you can't get up. And the Lord divinely picks you up and straightens you out and lets you walk again. You don't know what a joy it is to do that until you've lost that privilege. So look at what he's saying in verse 9. I will walk before the Lord in the land of the living. In other words, I'm going to let men, women, girls, and boys know that I am. Because God says I am. I'm delivered because he loved me enough to look beyond me and see what he put in me. I'm walking for him. I'm talking for him. I'm living for him on the land of the living while I have breath in my body. Oh, look at what Isaiah says in the 26th chapter, verse 3 and 4. You don't have to turn that now, but hear me if you will. The Bible says, thou wilt keep him in perfect peace. Can I tell you, you can't walk right unless you're in perfect peace. And that perfect peace means the peace of God in you and the peace of God on you. And that means to be at peace inside of you. See, listen, the devil loves to destroy, distress, and disturb your mind. But God has given you a sound mind. Nothing bothers me more when saints talk about, I feel like I'm losing my mind. Well, why don't you hang on to your mind and lose the things that's causing you? Help me, somebody. Whose mind is stayed on thee. Look at what the word says. Because he trusteth in thee. You've got to to trust God enough to really tell him thank you. You got to trust him enough to say thank you even before you see the manifestation of that you're asking him for.
The teaching ministry of Dr. John E. Montgomery II offers help for today